conversation. I like your show. Two professionals, two men interested in the world of professional wrestling, presenting it as it should be presented. And you, my friend, should be commended for that, because there are a lot of other podcasts out there that just don't do that job. So congratulations. And I really, really want to thank you both for allowing me to come on your show.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hope I can do it again sometime.
This has been our honor, sir, and thank you very much.
One last thing.
Go ahead.
I would like to officially proclaim John Cena Sr.
Yes.
As the classiest man on the face of the earth.
Look at that. Look at that.
And I mean that.
I'd like to extend an invitation to the both of you. If you're ever in this area, you look me up, and I don't know if you guys have ever been to the Kowloon restaurant in Saugus, Mass. That's my old stomping grounds. I go there all the time.
We're not banned? We're not banned.
I heard we were banned from this place. What did he just say?
Kowloon?
I thought we might be banned. I don't know. Go on, sir. Go.
I heard there was some poison duck for me over there.
Poison duck. Oh, God.
You know, I have a rule of thumb. My rule of thumb is that I try to pass it on to my sons. When you run into trouble and you think, you know, it's the worst thing that ever happens and you can't do shit about it, be like a duck in the rain. When it rains, what happens to the water on a duck's back? It rolls off.
Yeah,
that's right.
Get a thick skin. Yeah. When you're in this business, if you don't have a thick skin, you're out. Yep. I would really, if you gentlemen are up in this area, I would love you to be my guests at the Kowloon. It'd be my pleasure. And as I said to Monty and Farrell, ship me your address. I have my own private label soda, Fabo Pop. I'd like to send you some of that.
Sweet.
And a couple of bottles of my hot sauce. And maybe I might sneak a couple of bottles of Fabo wine in there.
Oh.
That's fantastic. Let's Sir, you have been an incredible guest. We're honored to have you on our show. And we just thank you very much for spending
thank
some time
you,
with us.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr.
All right,
Cena.
Thank you. Mr. John Cena Sr.
Senior.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Well, that was awesome.
That was
He is the classiest
fantastic.
Man alive.
He is a classiest.
He's the classiest man alive. What on earth?
So, thoughts?
Blown away. Basically, super intelligent, so well thought out, just class. What am I going to say? I mean, you can really top it after that? And revealing and truthful and down to earth and, you know, just
so
great. Just
real,
great. Home run.
Real quick.
Home freaking run.
Yeah.
Real quick.
Yeah,
a lot of
fans
out there were wondering why we didn't go into that whole Boston wrestling thing.
Yeah.
We were not going to drag John Cena Sr. into this mess.
It's bad enough we turned it into a sitcom with that.
In fact, I got to tell you.
Actually, it was funny.
After what I saw, I don't think you even saw it, but after what I saw this week.
You know me with the internet, huh?
I'm probably going to disassociate myself.
Yeah.
With the whole situation.
Oh, I don't blame you.
It's gone overboard.
Absolutely.
Again,
I agree with that.
I'll say this, is that the reason this whole thing started was because we felt there was some mistreatment going
sure.
on from what we were told and everything else went on.
Yeah.
If I would have had the foresight to know what kind of
low level you may be dwelling into through others' actions. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what I heard Tuesday night.
Understood.
Was
septic tank
was appalling.
Material.
Was
septic,
appalling.
Septic tank material.
Was appalling.
I got you. I got
and,
you.
And, you know, if I could have, again, known that was going to go on, we would not even have done that show with Tony on Saturday, right?
Right.
Because I think the message was lost. It was basically right. Tony saying, leave me alone, Dan. I right. want to be left alone, Dan. I want to be left alone.
That was the basic premise
so
of
anyway,
the whole thing.
You know, yes. If anyone thinks it's a work or whatever else, the point of the matter
boy.
Is,
oh,
Dan, you win. You have officially won. We will not be doing battle with you anymore. In fact, I don't think we're going to cross. We're not going to say any more words about him. Go on with your life. When you step that low to humiliate people like
yeah,
that,
yeah.
I'm not. There's, it's
you
don't, I don't
go,
know what else
you
to
don't
say.
Go back and dip your sneaker into the pile of dog shit. So no, that's okay. You enjoy your own odor. And
going back to John Cena Sr.
Bye.
Right, we did a show on it. It was funny. He thought it was funny. It was all good. It wasn't a work. I did not know John Cena Sr. You
right.
didn't know John Cena
right.
Sr.
Right.
We had a good time.
Right.
I will tell you personally, talking to this man on the phone.
No.
What a human being.
Yeah.
And
he's a home run.
What intelligence.
You know what he is? He reminds me of the All-American Bob Backlund. I'm quite impressed. And you know, anytime we talk about Backlund, you know what rarefied air that is. We've seen
Roy
plenty
Camp,
of people here.
You wrote, you're talking what was said Tuesday as the truth. We don't know if the truth, his stepdaughter could be lying. Sir, in life,
mm-hmm.
there's hearsay. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to be said.
Sure.
Here are the only facts that we know.
Right.
And I'm saying we know.
Right.
I only know what Mr. Atlas told me.
Mm-hmm.
Here is one fact that is true. Mr. Atlas wanted to be left alone.
Very true.
That is a fact.
Mm-hmm.
There's no faking in that. So we heard the stories from his stepdaughter.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard the stories from Marotti.
Yep.
But we also heard that Tony Atlas just wanted to be left alone.
Right.
That is the only truth that is the truth.
Right.
Okay, so
agreed.
Again, Biggie21, thank you, sir. I really appreciate it. John Cena Sr. Was fantastic.
Yep, sure was.
So, again, sure after was. What I heard Tuesday, I'm not going to partake in this because I'm not going to allow someone to get embarrassed because of something that, you know, that we may be involved in.
Yeah. And I see it more as someone becoming a victim of somebody's really sick, twisted mind. So I am more than happy to join you in saying goodbye. You were really nothing in anyway. So goodbye. So long. See you.
Chris Lee, we love you too, brother. Richard Cramium says, I was a boss in wrestling and Dan Marotti a fan until he stepped the daughter video.
Yeah, come on, man.
Listen, guys, we really appreciate you joining us every Thursday
Absolutely.
Night.
Absolutely. You guys have been great during all of this. All
I know maybe you all wanted to hear something. I wouldn't dare. I would not, you
yeah.
know. Again, number one, how could you say anything to Mr. John Cena Sr. about anything?
How about the fact that we love professional wrestling?
Sure.
We truly do respect it. We've never screwed around with any of our guests. And we've always treated them with the utmost respect. And John Cena Sr. made it impossible.
Jimmy Fingers said, I told you guys that Mr. Sr. was
a jerk
class
of
act.
Any kind towards him because he's such a... I'm sorry, get that out again,
no,
brother.
No, Jimmy Fingers said, I told you guys Mr. Cena was a class
Absolutely.
Act.
Absolutely. What's up, Jimmy Fingers?
Tom
What's
says, you
on?
Guys are doing the classy thing. Let it go. I hope Dan does the same.
Absolutely. I mean, it gets to the point where it's like, really? Come on, man. There's certain things you just don't do, and we've seen it. Okay, so leave Tony
James
alone.
Earl, welcome, man. It's been a while. Thanks for joining us. Again, so at that,
mm-hmm. Case closed.
We move on. Case closed.
Case closed.
Upcoming events, September 17th, we've got Abdullah the Butcher in studio.
Is there any chance that Abdullah might, like, you know, maybe, like, make a pit stop in Jersey and eat too much chicken and forget to come here?
Not yet.
I'm afraid of this guy. Why are you bringing him in? He's scary.
Mr. Wonderful, Monty and Afaro, do you think Tony should sue Dan for defamation?
Whatever Tony decides to do, you know we're going to have his back one way or the other. Could I see him doing it? Yeah, I could see him doing it. But at this point, I bet Tony would trade all this nonsense for, leave me the fuck alone. Right? Can't we just have that now? Okay, you want quiet? You got your quiet. Now leave the guy alone. All right? Please, what a worm. Enough.
And then we have Rob Van Dam.
What?
In studio
the
on
whole
September
7th. Show
yep. 90 minutes where nice. We're going to allow people to get a good 30 minutes of questions in. Ask questions that we don't ask. Right. See how that works. Miami St. Jen says he seems like a great guy, but you dropped the ball not asking the owner of Boston Wrestling of exploiting wrestlers. So, not going to ask that question.
Interesting. Okay. Interesting. Interesting.
I don't know.
That's interesting.
I don't know anything about MWF.
I still don't know what I say. Whatever. I mean, when it comes to the face that I see doing it, I'm not interested. He's not interesting.
Right.
His beginning stinks. The whole thing. Whatever, bro. I'm just not interested.
Anyway, great interview, you know? John Cena Sr. And again, I will say this last thing.
Yeah.
Consider, you know, again, I only know about his son. I don't know about his other four sons, and I'm sure they're exactly the same.
Sure. Well, but he said they're all champions. That works for me.
If you have a son like John Cena,
yeah,
who does what he does for these kids,
that
and
guy's
these
unbelievable.
People.
Yeah.
The father can't be far, you know, can't be much
What's
different.
The old apple rolling not too far from the tree? It's pretty obvious. It's pretty obvious. That's class all the way around. John
DT
Cena.
Says, Kowloon closing next month, so hurry up. No, I will not be going to Kowloon. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
I thought it's his favorite restaurant. Why is it closing next month?
Anyway, I want to thank everybody for joining us. This has been Long Island's number one pro wrestling broadcast. This is Monty.
This is the Pharaoh. And until next week when we get reacclimated with normalcy? Or is it normalcy? Is it normalcy?
What's normalcy would be the
word. We'll get normalcy. Holy shit. Take some more acid, Pharaoh. See you next week. Later. Bye.
Done so much for the fans with his Make-A-Wish charity. You know, he's a legend. But as a father, what did you do to instill that kind of a humanity and empathy in him?
I have five sons.
Okay.
All five of my sons are champions. I raised my boys the way I was raised. I come from an Italian family. We grew up with love. We grew up in caring. And we grew up helping others, working to make sure others had what we didn't have. You know, my mother and father both worked. I'm not trying to put anybody saying, oh, poor Mr. Cena. No, had a great life. I really did. But, you know, it was a lot different. And so I tried to instill in my boys that value that was instilled in me. You know, we heard a neighbor couldn't buy food. We brought them food. We heard a neighbor was in the hospital. We went to visit. I feel very, very upset. I received an email on Thursday. It was from a friend of mine for a 15-year-old boy, a children's hospital. John, obviously, you're not going to get him. So I offered to go in and bring some memorabilia and, you know, talk to the young man. I received a text on Friday that said, we don't know if that's going to happen. I got a text on Saturday morning that he was on morphine. And I got a text on Saturday night that he died. Ugh. You know, when you look at that kind of thing, anybody who's anybody that cares, if you don't reach out and you won't help. And John, my son, you know, his heart is so big. I've heard all kinds of things, you know, say what you want about him. Say what you want. All my young sons, they're all the same. And the Make-A-Wish is near and dear to his heart. And I think that's a way that we give back. It's a way to take care of these young men and women who probably won't be here. I remember doing a wrestling show in Canada, and a woman came over to the ring. And she said to me, Mr. Cena, I want you to see something. And it was a locket, and she opened it up, and she said, there's a picture of your son, and there's a picture of my daughter. He was so kind to go out of his way to meet my daughter, and she died 3 days after we met her. So, you know, those are the values that I instill. I live by those rules. I don't trash people. I don't try to hurt people. I try to help. Sometimes I'm not successful, like that young man. But you know, if the world would just stop and look and see what's happening, we've got people who can't buy food. We have elderly people eating dog food. Appalachia, they can't afford shoes or clothes. Yet we'll send billions of dollars overseas. Cena does things to give back. He loves those children. He loves to make a wish. I remember one time when he took a shirt and his bands off his arm and gave it to a young man right there in a wheelchair. So that's what it's all about. You know, you can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make them drink. I can instill or hope to teach you the values that I grew up with, the values that I live by today. If you do it, great. If you don't, then I did the best I could.
Well said, sir. Well said.
John, how about the... Wow. That was excellent. Thank you.
That's Farrow's favorite.
That's
Valentine.
My all-time favorite. Greg Valentine.
Let me tell you, he is a great, great person. Oh. Hello, Greg.
The Dream Team. What'd you think about the Dream Team?
Ooh.
Was it really a dream?
Oh, no.
To me, they were. So let me ask you, John, the return of John Cena, yeah. Brock Lesnar, yeah. Becky Lynch, and Phil Brooks.
CM
which, in your opinion, was the most impressive in, you know, on the return?
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
I think the deal with Becky, you know, the way she left, the way she came back, a squash in 3 minutes, sorry. You know, I'll tell you who impressed me was Edge. He has not lost it.
No.
The Brood, him and Rollins put on one hell of a match.
I thought it would be the best match of the night. I agree.
I was so impressed by that. And Adam Copeland, if I may use his name,
sure.
Is probably one of the best. I worked with him. He's a great guy, a great professional wrestler. I remember when John and he were in Canada, I was there, and they had the table stacked up. John was on the ladder, and he had Edge on his shoulders for the FU then. And I saw John shake his head, and you could hear Edge say, now. And when Edge went, he went through those tables, was knocked out. And Edge's mother was behind me, and all I could hear was, oh, my God. But there is a tremendous athlete. I think the return of Cena was good. I think it was well done.
Excellent.
I just think WWE should have put a swerve in there. You know, the last night on SmackDown, when I said, well, you know, there's a chance. We're going to have a 17-time world champion. And then as soon as Roman Reigns extended his hand, and this is what I mean about storylines and writers. I don't get it. He extends his hand and said, I'll tell you what, I'll do one better. If I lose, I'll leave WWE.
Right.
Come on, guys.
Right.
It's a loss.
Yeah.
You know what I would have done?
Agreed. Agreed. That's what I thought. Agreed.
Well, I didn't like it. Why give me – why? What's the point of watching the show? Hmm. Tell me that. I don't understand.
Yep.
You know, I don't mind paying money. But if I can come to the end before you,
right?
And then I was watching and I said to somebody, you know what? I'm going to put $10 on the table right now. Lesnar's coming out. No way. All right. What happened after Cena took the beatdown?
Yeah, there it is.
See, I think what should have happened was Cena should have won that.
Hmm.
That would have been the swerve. That would have been the swerve. Paul Heyman would have intervened and said, hold it. There was no contract, nothing in writing. He doesn't leave the WWE. As a matter of fact, tomorrow night, or at Madison Square Garden, there'll be a rematch.
Interesting.
Let Reigns have it back. I mean, I don't care what's going to happen. You know, Brock Lesnar's going to go in now. We're going to have the same old thing all over again.
Mm.
And people are going to complain all over again. We've got a part-time champion. Unless the deal is, who does Roman Reigns really have left to fight? He's just going to keep going through these older stars, and he's just going to beat each one? It's beginning to not make sense anymore.
Interesting.
Wrestling fans, now you too can look as cool as Monty and the Pharaoh by wearing the official Monty and the Pharaoh sunglasses at night for $8.99 each. That's only $8.99 each. Now available at MontyandThePharaoh.com.
We know what you're thinking. Did they fire off 6 fascinating points of interest or only 5? Well, to tell you the truth, in all the excitement of watching and listening to Long Island's number one wrestling podcast, I've actually forgotten myself. But being this is the Monty and the Pharaoh from Indie Music Studios in Ronkonkoma, and the fact that they were talking to yet another champion wrestling star, one of the most powerful and talented performers from the wrestling franchise, and not to forget, well-informed and provocative interview questions asked and answered. It was such an interesting and entertaining hour. The questions nearly blew your head clean off. Now you've got to ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Do you?
Problems we had with Boston Wrestling. I know that.
I know them very well.
I know you go on that channel.
Okay.
Did you think that we were out of line with our approach against Boston Wrestling?
Wow, that's a good question, because I know those folks, and know Dan certainly too, and he's been very kind and nice to me, and I don't know that everyone's had that experience, you know, and I respect everybody, and I kind of feel like Switzerland here, kind of neutral, you know.
Look at you playing Switzerland.
Switzerland, you know, and I think there's room for everybody, and right. I understand, and this is wrestling, and there are conflicts sometimes, and you know, if it's done for a, you know, for a good reason, and if you're looking out for another person, you know, I can totally understand that, and yeah, tough, because I like everyone involved here, you know. And
so, Phil, you know, you're in the proverbial hot seat, so this is not just going to end like this. So now here's the question to you. Do you think that Dan was out of line posting that video of Tony Atlas's stepdaughter?
Wow.
Wow, that was –
Oof. Sorry, pal.
The Johnny Cash walking the line, man, you know?
Yeah.
You could certainly argue that, you know, and I know his perspective is he felt like, you know, he felt like that some misinformation was out there about him. So I think that was, you know, I can't speak for him, but I think that's how he played it. And it was a tough thing. That was a tough thing. Definitely a tough thing. A very evocative thing. And you know, I'm not sure how I feel, but again, I like the guy, and it seems to have gotten real personal, and I just wish it didn't on any end, you know.
Sure.
I mean, it was just the sort of thing that was kept behind closed doors, because love indie wrestling, love the business, and I want to see everybody do well, you know, and I'm not faulting you guys, and I'm not faulting him. I'm just, yeah, boy, the hot seat is pretty hot tonight, guys.
Yeah, you ain't.
Oh, moving out.
Well,
like,
I gotta tell you, if I could speak for the Pharaoh, we do love you, and we thank you for all the support you've given us, and we respect what you're saying. I mean, there's nothing wrong with what you're saying, and we appreciate your candor.
And it's all about the boys too, and keeping the boys busy, and you know, giving them a forum and making sure people don't forget about them. And you know, it's and you guys are great with them. Very respectful. You keep it positive. You keep it funny. I mean, you ask the questions, but it's not too dark, and it's just right.
Yeah,
and,
we try not to get into the dark stuff, right? I mean, that stuff's covered all the time, and
right.
Yeah, you know,
right. I personally, and I know Farrell, we grew up in these guys, and we have nothing but respect for them. So, it's, you know, sometimes it doesn't make sense. Well, Phil, thanks for joining us, man.
Can I squeeze in one?
Really appreciate it.
Phil, sit tight a second. Can I get just one question in with Phil? I love Phil's comments. He's very quick-witted. Phil, who's your comedic influences? Because you are quick on a draw.
Oh, wow. That's a good question. Of course, George Carlin was great.
How did I know?
One of the best. I love Johnny Carson. I mean, he was just no one can even come close right now. All these pretenders out there. Comedy is just awful right now, save for Dave Chappelle and a few others. But But I like him very much, you know. And we got a local guy on the radio, Howie Carr, who's really good and funny and exceptionally intelligent. He's a journalist. He's actually we had a local mobster, Whitey Bulger. You might have heard of him.
I've heard of him.
Well, Whitey is no more, and he certainly plagued Boston for a couple of decades. And at one point, he actually was going to take up Howie, and that's how influential Howie is around here. But you know, if you want to get a Howie's an interesting guy. He's funny and witty, and he's worth listening to. You can watch him online too. But I appreciate those thoughts. Yeah, just I don't know. It's the coffee that gets me quick.
There you go. Well, thanks for calling in, man.
Phil, we'd like to send you a T-shirt. So just message us on the webpage. I'd like to send a T-shirt out to you. Okay.
Thank you. Love you guys.
Love you too, man.
Thank you. Phil. Is if you could leave the call. That would be
all right,
great.
Phil's leaving right now.
Oh, I'm leaving right now.
No, I meant to.
Peace, Phil. Thanks, brother.
Leave in the computer.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Maria, you're up. The link has been sent. Miss Maria Davis. So when she's ready to go, we'll ring in.
I'm like
thoughts
psyched.
On Phil?
I'm psyched. Maria Davis?
Well, due to the pandemic last year, I was checking through some of the different wrestling podcasts, and I came across Monty and the Pharaoh, and I'm like, well, who are these two guys? I've never heard of them before. So I said, well, since I've been a wrestling fan since like grade school, junior high, and high school, and college, and afterwards, you know, it's like, it's time to get something new. So I started tuning in. I was like, wow, these two guys are really cool. I like that. And I like the sunglasses, and I like your promos were cool, and you kept the show exciting, and you never really put people down. You just let people just say what they want. And I think that's great. And I also like the fact that because you've been in the wrestling business for, you know, so many years, and you've got experience, and you allow the fans to be themselves. And I like that. And you don't like sugarcoat stuff. You just call it straight down the line. And that's how I like it.
Thank you.
Have we ever offended you at any times?
Oh, boy.
No. No, you've never offended me. And you know what? I'll tell you something. Even though you can agree to disagree, and you can still be friends, you can still be frenemies or whatever.
Sure.
Like even with Dan Marotti, okay, so I said what I felt. Okay, yeah, I sent you all what I felt. I didn't like he was doing a Tony and Marty. Mm-hmm. And I don't care that, you know, Rick B sent the screenshot. You know, I don't even give a shit about that. That's just me. Okay. You know, people are entitled to do what they want to do. He felt that he was doing that to get some brownie points with Dan. I don't even give a shit about that. So my thing is, I said what I said, and I stand by what I feel, and I don't let anybody talk down to me. I mean, I've been called everything but everything that's on my driver's license and my birth certificate, and I'm not offended. So anybody who thinks you can offend me, no, you can't. And like that last fool that was on her, I just definitely removed it because there's a lot of bullshit. And, you know, people are afraid sometimes to say what they really want. But, I mean, me, no, I am not shy, not at all. I will tell you if I like you. I will tell you if I hate you. But I don't hate people because it's a waste of time. And that's just terrible energy to give somebody that much authority and that much reign in your life. I mean, you have to say, well, you know what? Hey, either you like me or you don't. I don't care because I'm going to still wake up tomorrow. I'm going to still go to work. I'm going to still live my life. I will still watch the number one wrestling podcast on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. out of New York, Monty and the Pharaoh. And this is the best shirt I got on. All I need is to get the mug so I can put my hibiscus tea in her, and I'm done.
Oh, look
nice.
At that.
Nice.
Don't worry. Your package should be arriving. I shipped it a little late. I'm sorry. I got a little behind, but Maria's got some good stuff coming to her.
Wait a minute. Now, do you realize you said the words package and behind in the same sentence? You know what you're doing here? You're opening up a door that the Farrell's just going to walk right through. Unbelievable.
So let me ask you both. You brought up Dan. You both brought up Dan Marotti and Boston Wrestling.
Yes.
Did you feel that we were out of line with our approach with Boston Wrestling?
No, I think you were absolutely spot on. It was about time somebody really, you know, stood up to him and just let him know it's not right. You pick on these poor wrestlers who have fallen on hard times, and then you get them on there and you make an ass out of them. Right. And then you get your little couple dollars, and then you think you've done something. Mm-hmm. And then you feel, well, you know, I can do this. And I remember there was one wrestler on there, he had made fun of him, and he was living under a bridge at one time. He had fallen on really hard times. And he just got up there and just totally annihilated him. I said, what a freaking prick you are to do that to somebody. You know, but you're not the best looking guy looking out here. I mean, you've got soft shoes. I mean, you're all contorted. You can't walk. And he calls me, you know, a fat ass bitch. Well, yes, my ass is fat because the men aren't complaining. He's never had an ass to really hold on to because that wife and those kids aren't even his. So, Dan, if you want to get real, get real. And if Rick is listening, a screenshot of this too. I don't give a fuck. You know? I don't care.
Wow! Don't hold back, Maria.
Maria, are you sure are you blocking right now? You got to really let it go.
No.
Okay, let it out.
No, I'm not blocking anything because I hate to see people being taken advantage of. Like, you know, it could happen to anyone, and a lot of wrestlers.
Yes.
You know, sometimes maybe they're not great with their money. Maybe they are. That's not my business.
Right,
if I feel that I want to contribute something to them, I will. And if I don't think they're, you know, worth my time, then I don't. Okay. And life goes on. But I mean, wrestlers can say whatever they want. If they like women, if they don't like women, if they like black women, if they don't like black women, if they like what, it doesn't matter to me. I don't care. I'm on here for entertainment. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because if everybody thought the same, it would be so freaking boring. So I say what I say. I don't take anything back. I don't give a shit. You know, I mean, I'm just me. I love wrestling. I always did. Here in Pittsburgh, you know, Bruno was like the living legend and, you know, his sons and everything. And, you know, we have some pretty good wrestlers. Plus Kurt Angle.
Oh, yeah.
Pittsburgh's favorite, the Olympian. Well, one of my former producers went to college with him at Clarion State, and I've heard some great stories about Kurt. And I said, I'm going to put that on my bucket list. So the next time he does come to Pittsburgh to visit his family, I'm going to just be so nosy. I'm just going to put myself out there and do it.
Chris, while we have you, I wanted to ask you, who is the Australian wrestling legend? Who's your Bruno Sammartino over there since Maria brought up Bruno? Do you have one? Was that a no?
No one really currently.
The Fabulous Kangaroos.
Probably Mario Milano.
The Fabulous Kangaroos.
The Fabulous Kangaroos.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they were very good. Bill Dundee.
Bill
Dundee. Outback Jack.
Oh, yeah, Bill Dundee. Yeah.
Bill Dundee. Now, wait a minute.
Bill Dundee's in studio.
Bill Dundee's coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And Jamie's good, too.
Okay.
Hey, Maria, a personal question.
Yes.
And maybe I'm barking up the wrong tree. But
no, keep barking.
Here's a question.
don't encourage
What
him.
Is the deal with all those young boys that are in Boston Wrestling Studios? There's something weird going on there.
Now, wait a minute. Ooh.
You know what? You know what? I think a lot of them probably may be interns, I think, from when I was there before I left.
Okay.
I really don't know too very much, you know, not much about them, nor do I really care.
Okay.
There was one in particular. He was pretty good, Matt Dagman. He was pretty good. The rest, I really don't know anything about them. I just think that, you know, if you want to learn something about wrestling, you know, maybe go to a studio or a podcast or somebody who really knows the business. But I'm like this, if you haven't taken a bump, then how the heck do you know what wrestling is?
Right.
Yeah, it's true.
That is true.
It's hearsay. But then again, I mean, like, you know, you can do whatever you want. I mean, you go into the studio and I guess you sit down and you get a chance to interview these, you know, former superstars. and get a chance to know what they're really like outside of the ring, outside of their gimmick, and just to see if they're really for real. Now, I'm sure some wrestlers probably may be very nice. Maybe some aren't. I don't know. Depends on what kind of mood they're in. But I do, you know, kind of wonder, you know, what's going on with that. But I really don't know. And anything about Boston wrestling, I don't even give a shit. I don't even care.
Wow. Well,
I don't care.
I got to tell you both, thank you both for joining us. Maria, Chris,
thank
you,
for you
both
me.
Are
thank
wonderful,
you.
Wonderful human beings. We want to
and
thank
happy birthday,
you.
Jimmy.
Oh, that's right. Happy you. Birthday, Jimmy.
That's right. I was made in a lab over 50 years ago. Wow, that's a long time ago to be made in a lab.
Oh, happy birthday.
And I'm mad at Dynation for your birthday.
Thank you. Oh, thank you very much.
I was mad at Jimmy this week, Chris. I didn't tell him.
Wait a minute. Are you holding my cash?
I got your
Get
cash.
Get over here, you.
It's hidden.
Unbelievable.
That's I was angry.
Yeah, but he'll tell you know, probably give me some white
right,
castle
guys,
and be like,
we'll
that was
you.
On Chris.
We'll see so. You next week. We've got a
I love you, Jimmy.
Thank you. Thank you so, much, man.
We got a Bob Johnson.
Thank
we love you both. We'll talk to you soon.
Love you guys.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you, Chris.
You too, Miss Davis.
That was fabulous.
That was fabulous.
Fraud. Fraud. And just run. Fraud. Fraud. Fraud.
Hey, what's up, wrestling fans? Boston Wrestling's Dan Marotti has passed away. I'm not sure what the cause and death was for Mr. Marotti, but as more information is released, I'll do a follow-up interview to keep y'all informed. But I enjoyed Mr. Dan's content. He always kept us with a banger interview, something to watch, something to learn from. He had great interviews with New Jack, Tony Atlas, Marty Jannetty, The Godfather, D'Lo Brown, Leo Rush, and many, many, many more great superstars and legends. So my condolences go out to Mr. Dan Marotti, his family, his friends. And as more information is revealed on his death, I'll keep everybody informed. So, RIP, Mr. Dan. Get-
do you treat your dog as part of the family? Well, so do we. So why not celebrate your pup's birthday with the ultimate party box? Check us out on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Party Pup Info, and let us make your pup's party or any celebration perfection.
Dino Luzzi energy drink. Yeah, it's that good.
Question, this is a serious question. Hey. I'm trying to be somber here.
Hey.
Oh, never mind. Any thoughts on the passing of Dan Marotti from Boston Wrestling, Tony?
Well, as y'all well know, me and Dad, we did not leave on good terms. I think what Dad did to me was uncalled for. But in the Bible, it says, forgive and forget. The reason that God tells us that, because when you forget, until you forget, it keep hurting you. So in order for me to heal my pain, I had to erase him from my mind. I came to the Monty and Farrell show, and I expressed myself and how I felt about what he was doing. And to me, it was over. But I do feel not happy about his passing. You know, because he never got a chance to redeem himself. Not that I would have worked for him again, because I was done with him. Okay. I would not have worked for him. But I'm not happy with his passing. Let's put it that way. You know, I'm kind of sad that such a young man had to leave so early, before he grew up to learn how to appreciate what he had and be more respectful towards others. Like, he started attacking you guys because y'all were trying to help me, which I felt was wrong.
Okay.
I mean, neither one of y'all ever did anything to Dan Morello. There was no reason for Dan to attack Marty or to attack the Pharaoh. Well, y'all never did nothing to him. But we all make our own bed, and we the one have to lie in it. He made his bed, and he left out of here not a very likable person. So I kind of sad that he didn't stay around long enough to grow up, to be appreciated of the position he had, and be more appreciated of the guests that travel and work with him. You know what broke up our relationship was over $100.
$100.
Yeah. Yeah. When COVID hit, my prices on rental cars went up. I told Dan I can't afford to pay that much for rental car.
Okay.
I said, just throw me $100 for the rental car. Didn't want to do it. You know, he felt that I owe him something, you know? And like I said, I'm sad about his passing. You know, I'll be sad if anybody passed, you know, regardless if I liked them or not. But life is precious. Because when you lose your life, you lose everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You lose everything. And I'm sure he had family and people that loved him and cared about him. And it's the ones we leave behind that it hurt the most. The ones we leave behind. Like, something happened to me, the people that are going to get hurt the most will be my wife, and my kids and my grandkids. They're going to be hurt the most. There'll be some fans hurt, but not as much as my wife, you know?
How about the real Dan Marotti, though? Of course, the fans, and he had plenty of them with Boston Wrestling, they see the Dan Marotti on the presentation. What was he like in real life to you? I mean, did he change over the years? I mean, who was the real Dan Marotti to Tony Atlas?
He put him in the same category as Sasha Banks. Sometimes we lose appreciation. It's kind of like your mom. She feeds you, clothes you, raised you, gave birth. You grow up, and you start disrespecting her. And that's pretty much Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, and Dan Marotta, and Tony Atlas fell in the same boat. We was raised, nurtured, and taken care of. And then we turned on our parents. The one that did the most for us is the one that we turn on the most. Because who done more from Sasha Banks than Vince? Who?
Can't think of anyone.
Who traveled more to Dan Marella's show and did more for Dan Marella than me?
Understood.
And I tried to make it reasonable for him. I mean, I didn't try to price gouge him or anything. I try to work for the lowest possible price. And I do that with a lot of people that work with me. You know, I just want to make enough money where I don't feel stupid at the end of it. But I don't want to put you in the poorhouse doing it. You know, that's just how I do business. And people that work with me, you know, I negotiate a price with them that is reasonable, that I think. I don't ask people to pay extra stuff. You know, like when I travel, I pay my own gas, I pay my own rental car. I don't ask a promoter, well, I want this, plus you got to pay my rental car, plus you got to pay for this, plus you got to pay. I don't do all that to people. Because then I'm not, I'm doing good, but the people that book me is not. That's the only problem.
Big Bassetti says out there, men make mistakes, Dan too. Tony helped me many dark nights also, God bless.
Wow.
So you know, there was one thing that I guess we should recognize is that you and Marotti together on those shows entertained many people through some very, very hard times.
Yep.
So both of you should be respected for what, you know, what you accomplished there. You know, a lot of people out there were going, you know, with COVID and everything going on, their lives are very tough. And you did a wonderful job, and Marotti together entertaining these fans. So, I mean, as bad as things ended up, there is some silver lining, I guess, maybe.
Well, you know, and since I've been in the wrestling business, the one person in the wrestling business that shows the fans more respect than any wrestler I ever met in my life, that's Vince McMahon Jr. If you want to lose your job, refuse to sign an autograph.
Really?
I have seen Vince run. He's running late. And he got the big tube suitcase in his hand. He's running to the limousine. And somebody would just walk up to him and say, Vince, can you sign that? He would drop them suitcases and sign.
Really?
Vince McMahon would never say no to a fan. Never.
That's amazing.
Because he tell us guys all the time, without them, there's no us.
There's nothing.
You know? That's why he called it the wrestling universe. He didn't like the idea of calling them fans because a fan is like a follower. He said the wrestling universe, he said that makes the people feel more a part of it.
It's pretty smart.
Instead of a follower.
It's pretty smart.
Like a groupie, a fan, you know. You know, so the wrestling universe, you are a part of the WWE. He even sold stock to fans. You know, you take $10 and buy a WWE stock. That, you know, 10 years from now, growing to $50,000. And start at five. So he always catering to the fans. And more so than the wrestlers, which is what made him great. And I think the fans appreciate his appreciation of them.
So Young Rock, the Tony Atlas character, has finally appeared, season two. Now again, we've known you for a long time and we've met other wrestlers and heard different stories, so I'm sure, or I'm not sure, that the show exaggerates situations, but one of the major storylines in The Young Rock is the jealousy of Rocky Johnson of Tony Atlas. Would that be accurate?
Yes. I was told that by Chief J. Strongbow. When Vince Sr. was going to team up together, Chief went to Vince and said, do not put Tony with Rocket. He's going to destroy that kid. Put Tony back with SD. But Senior said, yeah, but look how good they look together. But see, people don't realize Rocket would start in the business in the 60s. I started in the 70s. And my mother said, never judge a person until you walk a mile in their shoes. And I sat here and I watched the program and I said, I wonder how I would have felt if the table was turned. That I have been in the business for 10 years. Here this young kid that only been in the business to have the time I've been in the business. And he's getting all the breaks. If you got to realize, Rocky never had a big break until they teamed him up with me. I had big breaks in Georgia, Charlotte, many places. Mm-hmm. This was Rocket for all the years he'd been in his business. And this is a true story here. If SD was lying, telling the same thing. He called Vince Sr. earlier when I was there. He wanted to come in. And Vince Sr. told him, well, I got Tony Atlas and I got SD Jones. If one of them should leave, you could take their place. Well, of course, I left. So Rocket took my place. My first night back, Vince Sr. come to me. He asked me this. He said, well, you know, I got Rocky now. I go, yes, sir. He said, do you want him to stay? He said, if you want me to get rid of him, I'll get rid of him. That's what Vince Sr. said to me. Okay. I said, oh, no. I said, I don't want nobody to lose their job. And Vince said, oh, great, because we were thinking about making you tag team partners. That's when Chief told him what I just told y'all. He said, don't put Tony with Rock. He's going to mess him up. Sure enough, my first night back from AWA, Vern Gagne, my first night, Vince told, I just got back from L.A., Los Angeles. Sorry, guys. I got so much stuff that sometimes I get confused because I'm stupid like that. But anyway, I just got back from L.A., and Vince said, do you want to go back to Los Angeles and get your car? Rocket said, hey, we're going to be tag team partner. He don't need to go back and get his car. He can ride with me. Plus, I got two cars. He can use one of me. He said, oh, hey, great. Thank you, Rocket. So I rode from back to New Haven, Connecticut, with Rocket Johnson. Rocket dropped off in the hotel. And the next day, we supposed to be in Hartford. He said, I'll pick you up at 4 o'clock here. He says, it's about an hour drive. He said, but I like to get there a little bit early. We're going to stop at Church of Chicken and get some chicken. I said, oh, great, Rocket, great. 4 o'clock come around, no Rocket. 5 o'clock come around, no Rocket. So finally, at 6 o'clock, I called Vince and went, get a cab. I jumped in a cab. I took a cab from New Haven all the way to Hartford, Connecticut. Cost me $270-some bucks. Rocket said, hey, where were you? I looked all over for you. See, he wanted to get rid of me. Because that was his first big break in the business. And without me, he was the man.
Well, let me...
And APB, American Protection Bureau, voted number one best on Long Island for all your security needs. Call 631-390-9050. That's 631-390-9050. APB.
Tired of that same old breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Same old tasting scrambled eggs, burger, that dinner steak, ribs, or pork chops. Why not add a little bit of spice or just a touch of heat to make the difference? Change that scrambled egg with a little bit of Johnny Fabulous's John Cena Sr.'s Million Dollar Jalapeno Hot Sauce. Great on burgers, steaks, chops, and those barbecued ribs.
Do you treat your dog as part of the family? Well, so do we. So why not celebrate your pup's birthday with the ultimate party box? Check us out on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Party Pup Info, and let us make your pup's party or any celebration perfection.
Hi, welcome back to Long Island's number one pro wrestle and broadcast, Monty Nefaro, seen only here out of Indie Music TV, straight out of Ronkonkoma, Long Island. So... on March 9th, 2022, the pro wrestling world lost Dan Marotti. The reason for his passing continues to be unknown presently. However, he left behind a legacy to many people and fans, and he will be missed tremendously. So... on March 9th, I received a message from a few people, and one being Tony Atlas, that Dan Marotti passed away. Everybody's well aware of the issues we had with Dan Marotti.
Mm-hmm.
But I could tell, you know, and I'll let you speak to it, is that, you know, when someone dies at such a young age, it's not a good thing.
No.
It's not a good thing.
No.
But I thought how before we, you know, we had a couple of days to think about how we were going to present this on the show. And I want to make sure that everybody's clear that I was not a fan of Dan. For some things that went on.
Absolutely. Understood.
But did I hate him? No. I didn't hate him.
No.
Did I consider him a friend? Absolutely not. But one thing I do recognize is that there were a lot of fans out there and people who had a tough go the last couple of years. And Dan supplied programming to people and help the people in need, right? You know, a lot of people were stuck at home. And, you know, he helped a lot of people. So who am I to say anything beyond that is, you know, he was, he, you know, I only knew him for what I knew him for.
Right.
That doesn't mean I knew him.
Right.
So sure, he could have been a good guy.
Sure. And to some, of course, he was. I was actually pretty shocked. I mean, and it's for, you know, it's weird too, because some people were asking me, is this real or is this a work? Do you believe this business? That would even come up? But I was asked that. And well, I was like, I'm sorry, but that's a little bit beyond the realms of, you know, is this a work? But I mean, I understood because of the crazy wrestling business that you always wonder, is anything a work or a shoot? I felt at the time shocked. Again, I agree with you. I didn't know him. Oddly enough, the first I was aware of him was just when I heard he was throwing F-bombs at us. And that got me very angry, as it should. I'm like, who's this guy? You know? But look, at the end of the day, 42 is way too young. He had family.
Yep.
He had friends who loved him. And to a lot of people, he was very entertaining and they enjoyed him. You know, rest in peace. Wouldn't wish that on anybody. And that's basically it. I mean, I was not a fan of the channel, but that doesn't really matter, you know, at this given moment, you know, one way or the other, you know. We all loved wrestling, so there is something in common at the end of the day. And I just hope his family does well and can get through it. And way too young. That's my take.
And again, you could see
way too young.
I tuned into one of the shows after his passing, and you see many fans were distraught over the situation.
Of course.
You know, in many cases, he was family to a lot of people.
Sure.
And
I mean, just like we have our family, he had his rest of the family.
I'll read some comments, you know? But I did want to share something.
I'm sure, he worked hard to get that
family. I think it's important that now that I tell the story a little bit.
Man.
Tony
so bizarre.
And Dan had issues. We don't have to get into that whole situation.
Yeah, everybody kind of knows.
But I will tell you that Tony shared with me many times, and I think this is important for everybody to know, because this is why life is too short, right? Dan was reaching out to Tony quite often.
Right.
And trying to reconcile the situation.
Right.
I think at some points maybe Dan realized that he was out of line with what went on in certain situations, and maybe tried to reconcile.
Sure.
But if this isn't a message to everybody out there, it's like life's too short, right?
Right.
It's life's too short for hatred.
Way too short.
You know, there's joking, and we're all about having fun.
Of course.
But, you know, it's just...
Which is honestly what I felt we were doing when we were going back and forth with him. And
I think part of him...
I think he enjoyed it, too.
Absolutely.
Quite honestly.
Absolutely. You know, and I think the fans enjoyed it also,
We were all having a ball, tossing, you know, turnbuckles at each other. But, I mean...
But, you know, I'm going to read a few comments. Davio says, Monty and Farrow, I just want to say it was honorable of you guys giving a 10-bell salute to Dan. Jokic says Dan was passionate to the core about wrestling. His death leaves a massive void in the community, and he'll be deeply missed. So that's something we should recognize.
He's identified with Boston.
Well,
I mean, you know, he was obviously a fixture over in that area. Obviously,
we should recognize the fact that, and I'll say this, he was a major player in the world of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
You know,
in the in the YouTube universe, I agree with that.
I would even go further past maybe the YouTube
universe. Well, the MWF, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, sure.
He did some things. And, hey, he wasn't just out there, you know, thinking about doing them. He went and tried to do them. You know, I give him a lot of credit for that.
Charles Wilson says, I was privy to some conversations about sunglasses at night.
There you go.
Right?
There you go.
Eric says, amen, gentlemen. Super classy. Luce says, Dan, love pro wrestling and that we all can respect. I feel sorry for his family.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I got goosebumps, man. I'm not, that shouldn't have even happened. I'm still like, how? Have they cleared up how he passed away, or is this still somewhat in the air? Because the first thing I read was he died in a car crash. Now, right. We know he was in a car crash years ago with the Sheik. Then the next day, I saw that he passed away in the shower. And I was like, does anybody really know the definitive reason? I mean, have you found anything out at this point, or is it still up in the air as far as what happened to him?
From what I read, he was at his father's house and he passed away in the shower. I'm not gonna try to guess what happened. Charles Wilson says Dan had a channel of 25,000 subscribers and it lasted well over 10 years.
There you go.
He spent a lot of time and effort into his channel.
Sure.
Absolutely,
no doubt.
And you know what, I kind of
you
know, I think about Dan and I think, you know, this is what his life was from. I didn't know the guy, but from what I understand, and I call him Dan respectfully instead of Marotti.
Yeah, right. Gotcha.
I think that he had his injury in his car accident, and this
apparently
channel and his fans were all he had.
Right.
And I think he became very, very protective.
Who wouldn't be? Right?
Right.
I mean, who wouldn't be? We've worked very hard in the last 5 years to do what we're doing. I can relate.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna reiterate, though. I want to bring it to a point.
Sure.
Is I spoke to Dan one time.
I remember.
Right? One time.
I remember.
And
he didn't know I was there, but
I could just say that
I kind of walked in on it, but yeah.
I did. I don't want to come on here. It's very hard to sit here and bust on each other for a year. And then
and then someone passes
and then say, I love this guy. Oh, it was a joke.
Yeah,
we didn't like each other.
We got to stay real here.
We didn't like each other. And that's okay.
You're just being truthful. That's all. You're being real.
That's okay.
You know?
But I will tell you, I know you were.
Yeah.
You were very saddened over this.
I was pretty jolted, you know? Especially when I found out he was 42, because not for nothing, I thought he was our age. Maybe because it was the facial hair or whatever. There was something about him that I figured he's our age. But he's 42. Sorry, folks, but to these two old guys, that's almost a baby at this point.
Yeah, that's for sure. Al Snow wrote Al Snow wrote on YouTube, I heard the sad news and the loss of my friend Dan Marotti. You will truly be missed. You are one of a kind. I will always be in your debt for introducing me to Quincy. My sincerest heartfelt condolences to all of Dan's families and friends.
May you truly rest in peace.
Another gentleman wrote,
Mr. Snow,
very sad in the learning the passing of Dan Marotti Fragile.
I cannot pronounce it.
Well,
I'm
I will tell you this, though.
Pronounce that
that shocked
thing.
Me.
Fragile?
I had no idea that Marotti was a pseudo name.
What am I going to say? I'm the Farrell.
I know.
Hey,
but
what am I going to say?
Right.
That's cool. I mean, Dan Marotti sounds like rolls off the tongue better than, I can't even, what, Fragile, I'm assuming.
Maria Davis shared this with me. The first thing when I heard about Dan passing, the first guy that came to my mind was John Cena Sr.
Okay.
And
that makes sense.
Maria Davis was kind enough to send this to me, and I'll just read John's writings.
Quite the letter.
And again, if everybody's heard this before, I just think it's important, right? We recognize the passing of, a big-time figure in pro wrestling, right? This is a hard one for me. I got a call this morning that Dan Marotti passed away. He was more than just a friend to me. He was like another brother. For over 15 years, we've been working together on Boston Wrestling, MWF. He brought me on board back in 2007, and ever since then, we've been working together. I've gained so much knowledge about the sport of professional wrestling from him and just so much more. We did everything wrestling together and more. This one just hurts. He created a name that would stick with me forever and how everyone knew me as Little Cena. He never called me by my actual name, not once. He was a great guy to anyone that truly knew him and would do anything for anyone. He worked day and night to bring the best content available for all the fans of Boston Wrestling. He will be missed. I miss you, buddy. I'll see you on the other side. Little Senior.
You know, we've talked about it in the past, Mike, that, you know, as far as attaining success, and I've always loved that you've said this to me, if we even make one person smile, we've done our job. Well, well done, Dan Marotti. You definitely did your job. It's that's facts.
Well done, Farrell.
Yeah.
Well said.
Rest in peace.
The Monty and the Farrell Show is brought to you by...
Because wine is your second favorite four-letter word. California wine, New York attitude, good fucking wine.
Yeah.
All right, welcome back to Long Island's number one pro wrestling broadcast, Monty the Pharaoh, seen here on Out of Indie Music TV in Ronkonkoma, Long Island. So I'm going to start reading what you guys got to say one at a time. Maria Davis, yes, Dan and I had our differences, but when someone passes away, it leaves an impact. Rip Dan Marotti. Fester Hoghead, I saw the Iron Sheik first on Dan Marotti's MWF before I even knew who he was. Thank you, Marotti. B40, I'm sorry for trolling Dan during the height of the Thursday Night Wars. Jason Moaning, Dan seemed good-hearted and meant well. Phil Desiree.
De Cesare. I just love his
Thank you, Dan. Name. Just as you did for me on Earth, I hope you leave a light on for me where you are now.
That's cool.
Davio, Dan had a family and friends. My God, grant them peace during this difficult time.
Amen.
Yeah. Rick Howard, Dan reunited Demolition. That was huge.
Wow. Nice. Okay.
ESO, if it wasn't for Dan feuding with Tony Atlas, I would never have found Monty Nefaro.
Well. Oh. There you go.
Rick B. I had fun and met a lot of great folks in the chats in Boston Wrestling videos. Can you guys bring Cena Senior on and ask him how he can continue the channel?
Okay.
I think so, Rick. Yeah. I can reach out to him. Okay. I don't know what kind of state of mind he's in right now. It's probably not the time, but
right.
I certainly can do that with no problem at all.
Cool.
Anything for you, brother. James Splawn. Oh, my God. I can't believe he passed.
Yeah.
Loose Cannon. Dan, I respect your passion for wrestling and happy you did what you loved. Peace, brother. Jakus. Dan Marotti did more for some of the longtime veteran wrestlers than some of the companies they previously worked for. He was all about keeping the guys who paved the way working. He adored wrestling. So I'll address this. Julian Arness.
Oh, my favorite.
Why couldn't God have taken the Pharaoh? So,
wow.
There's times for funny jokes
wow.
and stuff like that, Julian. But you want to talk about disrespecting the memory of Dan Marotti? There you go. That's exactly the point. You were the big defender of him, but when the time of need, when the guy passes away, it's nothing like disrespecting him. So congratulations, Julian. You did a great job. Jamie Splawn. I liked him, and he did a lot of had a lot of knowledge. Griswold. Rip Dan. I give you credit. He knew the classic wrestling events, dates, and the pay-per-view of the WWF down to the T. Could name the whole card right off the rip. Phil says, not a good joke. No, Phil, it's not a good joke.
Something tells me I probably beat that Arness guy up back in sixth grade or something, and he's still mad.
You know? Just, whatever, man.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
whatever.
Yep.
All right, waiting for more comments, guys. Farrell, you want to keep this going while we get some?
Just, you know, the fans are fantastic. Everybody is showing their true colors and, you know.
Luce says one bonehead out of 50 ain't bad.
That's true. That's true. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Triple A, we do not wish death on anyone. Yes, lousy comment. I agree.
Thanks, guys. Thank you. Because, you know, there's a time and a place for everything. But apparently, school's in session over there. So.
Jackus says, don't wish death on anyone. Yeah. Rotten thing to say, Julian.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Here we go. 802. Most of the people I talked to in the chat and Boss of Wrestling chat, Dan and I had our words. He was never rude, and I was rude. I'm sure, so no bad words to Dan. Thanks everything you did for wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Rick, is Tony Atlas okay? Rick, I talked to Tony when Dan passed. Very hard to gauge how Tony was feeling.
Right.
I could tell you, between us both, that... it shook us up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't, you know, again, I thought about,
I mean,
he had kids,
honest, right?
Right
now,
from
what
I understand.
I'm still blown away by that incredibly stupid comment. I didn't think anybody could be that dumb, you know, during a moment like this to just be that clueless. But, I've always been impressed with that particular person's, idiocy. It's just a, anyway.
Kurt Fox, I learned so much from Dan and Tony. I watched every episode. They came here love and light. PJ, hey, man, how are you? I didn't know Dan, but he was a big part of wrestling. It will be a big loss.
Yeah.
802, long live the Pharaoh.
Thank
Yard
you.
Ape in the house.
Thank you, 802. What's up, Yard Ape?
Julian Arness. Either way, let's be real. Why does everything change when someone dies? When he was alive, most were here criticized Dan nonstop. I supported Dan. So can I answer that one?
What,
I'll
answer so that. You're a hero now because you're trying to make up
no,
for your
I'll
stupid comments?
I'll no.
You're
I'll,
an idiot.
I'll answer that. So,
I mean, come on.
So again, if we were to come on the show and turn around and say, you know.
What, you want us to blast him?
No, but no.
I mean, what is wrong
that's
with
not,
this
that's
idiot?
Not, that's not the point. The point is this, is that. Whatever arguments we had, we both felt, one way, he felt another.
Right.
Everybody knows in life, there's no black and white, there's like lots of gray.
Yeah.
And in life, people choose sides.
Right.
So, Julian, the people that were on this show were choosing the Monty and the Pharaoh side. And the people that went to Boston Wrestling chose the Boston side.
Yeah.
And some people just enjoyed
like
the
both.
Back and forth.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter, things do change because you're heartless if you don't feel for a man's family, you don't feel for a man who all he wanted to do was entertain people and to pass away at such a young age. So things do change when people pass away. Doesn't mean that I personally liked him. I didn't know him.
Right.
I know him from... his right. dealings with people
right.
that I was dealing with. But things do change, man, because guess what? You can still dislike someone and feel bad
right.
that something happened to them.
Right.
Right? There's levels.
I can even say after his comment wishing death on me that I'm impressed with his, you know, the fact that he just loves to hate the Pharaoh. That's fine. You know, I respect that. And if God forbid anything happened to Julian Arness, I would feel bad.
And again,
does that make me a phony? No. It means I don't like when you talk shit about me, but if God forbid anything happened to you, I wouldn't be pleased, my friend.
Griswold
you know?
Asks...
So come on, bro. Get a grip.
Have you guys heard from Marty J? Griswold, I spoke about it earlier. Marty called me the day after Dan passed. He wanted to know what happened. I didn't really know what happened. I just told him what I had heard. Marty was still in the hospital. He
sounds
fantastic.
Great. That's very encouraging.
Fantastic.
Very encouraging.
So we're out of time. I appreciate you guys with your comments.
Absolutely.
Our prayers go out to the Marotti family.
For sure.
Our prayers go out to the friends of Dan Marotti.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And the fans of Dan Marotti.
For sure.
Yeah. And I'll leave it with this and then send us out. Yard Ape says something good. Says, Dan loved to bury sunglasses at night.
Yeah, and we had a ball with sunglasses at night.
Absolutely.
I mean, he gave us awesome artillery. I mean, everything he would say, we would find a way to make it work, you know? So.
Rick says,
it was all in good jesting.
Classy show.
Thank you. Thanks, Rick.
Send us out, Farrell. And I want to thank you guys for joining us. And again, keep the Marotti family in your prayers, and we'll see you next Thursday. Go ahead, Farrell.
You've been watching Monty and the Farrell, and thank you guys all for sharing this hour with us. Rest in peace, Dan Marotti. You brought way more good to this game than bad, obviously. And you too, Julian. Hey, maybe someday we'll be friends. Who the heck knows? You know, life is too short. Later.
Jimmy, I gotta take a dump.
What?
No. I mean, I need a dumpster.
Well, for all those needs, you need to call Big V Dumpster Rental, Long Island, New York, 631-900-DUMP.
Elm Logistics, for all your logistic needs, call 631-299-3595. That's 631-299-3595. Elm Global Logistics. Pride, performance, and partnerships.
I'd like you to close us out with maybe some final words about Dan, and maybe what would you like to say to him if he was still with us and you had an opportunity to give him some final last words?
You know, I guess I could say this for Scott Hall, for JJ, and for Dan Marotti. Ernest Hemingway wrote a book. And the book was called For Whom the Bell Tolls. And today, the bell tolls for Scott Hall, for JJ, and for Dan Marotti. Listen quietly, hear the ring, and share the memories. If Dan was still here, I think we'd still be laughing and fooling. I still think my words would be the same to him. Dan, cool down. Slow down. Don't take things personal. This is not about you, my friend. Relax. Relax, please. And I had him laughing, and we'd go back and forth. And I think that's what I would keep saying to him. You don't realize how hard it is. Dan, slow down. A lot of us here to help. Let us help. So one thing he never knew how to do was delegate. He could never delegate. And that would be one thing I would tell him. And again, don't let things get to you. Don't take it personal. Walk away. Take the high road. Andy Wong would always say, take the high road. Take the high road. Walk away. You know, we all know about the incident he had with our favorite guy, and he's a great friend. Walk away. Walk away in peace, and it ends in peace. No need to start a war. No need. And those are the things I would tell him. And, you know, slowly he was understanding. Slowly. And I guess that's the way I'd leave him. You know, on the back of his prayer card, I'm just going to read you what they put on here, if I may. Those who he loved must someday pass beyond our present sight. must leave us and the world we know. Without their radiant light, we know that like a candle, their loving light will shine to brighter up another place, more perfect, more divine. And in the realm of heaven, where they shine so warm and bright, our Lord, one life forevermore in God's eternal light. And I believe that's where they all are. I'm sure that Marathi's up there trying to tell Peter how to run the friggin' gates. And if he gives him any trouble, he's going to put it on TV and talk about what a slob he was and how he forgot to get the golden key. Scott Hall, as you said earlier, Pharaoh, is going to walk up to the gate and say, hey, Peter, it's a wonderful place up here, but I want them gold toothpicks. And JJ, I'm sure, is writing a song about how great heaven is. So for all of us, we should sit back and say, as Bob Hope says, and includes Dan Marotti, Scott Hall, JJ, all the other ones that went before us, thanks for the memories.
Mr. Cena, you're a class act, and we want to thank everybody for joining us. I'm glad we could call you a friend, and prayers to the three gentlemen you just mentioned. Mr. Cena, send us out, please.
That's on you, John. Send us home.
I don't know how to send you home except say thank you. I love you guys tremendously. You truly are my friends, and I do wait for the day you call and say you're in Saugus, let's go to the Kowloon. And to all the fans of Monty and the Pharaoh and those fans of Boston Wrestling and NWF, thank you for the memories. It's only the beginning, only the beginning. And Monty and the Pharaoh, again, thank you so much for allowing me to come on and talk about my dear friend, Marathi.